Well, let's talk about leadership tonight a little bit. We started some lessons on leadership back in January, and we talked about the leader's example back then. And the leader needs to be a good example, and the Bible tells us about leaders being an example. And tonight we want to talk a little bit more about leadership. And when we think about leadership, we're thinking about things in some ways that everyone can do. But in other ways, we're thinking about things that a few who are in leadership positions really need to focus upon, all right? And tonight, when we talk about leadership, we're going to be talking about enlisting others to help us. And believe it or not, the Bible has a lot to say about that. It has a lot to say about enlisting others. And you may think, well, that's not exactly the way I would think about it. And you may be right about that. Typically, we talk about going out and teaching somebody the gospel or going out and evangelizing or something like that. But that's enlisting others. That's pretty much what that is. It's enlisting others, getting other people involved. But I want to talk particularly about enlisting others in relationship to leadership in the church. Because I think that's an area where we could do better, frankly speaking. I think that we sometimes don't know exactly how to ask other people to help. We don't know exactly how to get other people involved in things. And so that's why I wanted to discuss it a little bit tonight. Leaders need to know how to enlist others. And to effectively enlist other people in something, in some kind of event or some kind of cause or whatever it is, there needs to be at least four things. Now, there's probably a lot more than this. And some of you who are leaders in the school system who've gone and studied leadership class and then to read books on leadership and all of that good stuff. And Brother Jamie says he reads a book on leadership every day, you know. No, I'm just kidding. He doesn't read one every day. Every other day. Come on now. Man. I know I'm not a professional comedian, but you can be nice to me. Okay. Well, enough with that. No, he reads a lot of books on leadership, and I know some others read books on leadership too. And leadership is an interesting topic, but especially in regard to enlisting others. And that's something that each one of us can work on, and each one of us can be involved in, because we do need to take the gospel to the whole world. You know that, right? Now, that wasn't a joke, okay? That's what Jesus told us to do, and we need to be involved in doing that. But for leaders to enlist others, there's at least four things that we need to think about. First of all, there has to be a need. You know, other people aren't going to want to get involved in something unless there's a need. Secondly, there needs to be a purpose. People want their lives to be full of purpose and meaning. And so they want to get involved in things that give their life purpose. And so when we enlist other people, we need to be clear about what the purposes are that we're enlisting them for. Number three, people need clear directions. And so as leaders in the church, particularly, if we're going to enlist others in something, we need to give them clear directions. You noticed a few minutes ago how I said, pick up four or five flyers in the foyer and take them and roll them up and then stick them in somebody's door. That was an example. I was doing that on purpose to use that as an illustration for giving clear directions, okay? But we need to give clear directions. And then finally, to enlist other people, we need to paint a picture of a bright future, a bright future. So those are four areas that I would like to talk about tonight when it comes to enlisting others. Now, turn with me, if you would, to Acts chapter 6 for just a moment, because you may be thinking, what in the world does this have to do with anything in the church? And I want to make this very biblical, and I want to make this understandable as well, to see how in the Bible it does talk about enlisting other people, okay? It does talk about that. So look at Acts chapter 6 and verses 1 through 7 for just a moment, and let's read that together, and then we'll get in and talk about some of these other these specific points. Now, first of all, chapter 6 and verse 1. Acts chapter 6 and verse 1. Now, in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists, because the widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, "It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. Then the word of God spread, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. We see some interesting things here in regard to leadership, specifically about enlisting other people in regard to leadership. Well, some consider this, Acts chapter 6 and verses 1 through 7, the first time that deacons are appointed in the church. And it may very well be that. Without doubt, though, it is an example of church leaders enlisting other people to help with something that's going on, right? And whether a person is an elder, a deacon, a preacher, a member, a Bible class teacher, whatever, he or she may need to enlist others to help. And so when we look at this and study this, we see there's some lessons here that we can pick up on and learn about enlisting others to help. And a good leader needs to know how to do that. Certainly, the job that Jesus gave us to do cannot be done by one person. Even Jesus recognized that, right? Because he picked 12 disciples, 12 apostles, whom he then commissioned to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So even Jesus, even though he was the Son of God, even Jesus needed help getting this job done. And God wants us to enlist the aid of other people. And so let's think about enlisting others. First of all, to effectively enlist others, there must be a need. Look at the need right here in Acts chapter 6 and verses 1 and 2. "Now, in those days, when the number of disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists, because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution." And we'll say, what is going on there? Well, basically, here's what's going on. The church was taking care of widows at this time and providing widows with daily necessities, such as food and clothing and that kind of thing. And these widows, they didn't have anywhere else to turn to, because typically, you know, and some widows are really destitute because they don't have any children. And so those particular types of widows are even in more difficult straits than others. But nevertheless, there were some widows who were not getting the necessities that they needed. They weren't getting enough food, or they weren't getting clothing, or something like that. We don't know exactly what it was. Probably had something to do with food and that kind of thing. And so there was a daily distribution of this, but evidently the Hebrew widows were getting first in line for some reason. And then the widows that were of a Greek origin, they were being left out. And so there's this complaint. So there's a need here. There's a real need here. And to effectively enlist others, there needs to be a need. There's got to be some kind of need. Now, there's another need in this passage as well. Look in verse 4. The apostles say this, "But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." Now, that's another need, isn't it? So you have various different needs that are taking place. And any congregation of the Lord's people is going to have a lot of different needs of one kind or another. Now, we don't necessarily have the same exact needs that they had here. We still have the needs of prayer and the ministry of the word, and we still need people to do those things. But nevertheless, there are needs of one kind or another in the congregation. And there were needs here. And so what happens when you have a set of leaders, and then you have some needs that are not being met? What is the solution to that? And the solution is, you need to enlist other people. You need to get other people involved somehow in order to meet these needs. And that's exactly what the apostles did here. The 12 summoned the multitude, verse 2, of the disciples, and said, We don't want to do this because there's another need over here that we need to take care of, and that's prayer and the ministry of the word. That's our work. That's the need that we are fulfilling. So we want you to find some others who can be in charge of this work and who can work to fulfill these needs. And so they enlisted other people. And when there are real needs around, leaders need to make a clear appeal for help. Now, this is what the apostles did here. They made a clear appeal for help. Notice what they said. Seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. Now, they didn't do it directly, did they? They told the people who were raising the complaint, so to speak, they said, now you get involved in this. And you work to find some people who are going to be able to do this work. We can't do this work because we're trying to meet another need. And so we need some other people who can meet this need and enlist in this work. And so they found these 7 men, and they were able to appoint them then, and they were able to do this work, and the need was met, right? And so leaders need to make clear appeals for help when there are real needs in the congregation. And our leaders do a pretty good job of that here. We talk about needs. The elders get up and say, we have a need. We've just had one recently. You know, there's this tornado down at the children's home, and they've got up and said, we have a need here. We want to help with that. And so they made an appeal for help, enlisting others to help. It might behoove us to think about what our congregational needs are and to give that some priority in our mind, to sit down and say, you know, I need to consider what the needs of the church are, and even to think about how we may be involved in meeting some of those needs, because there are always needs that need to be met. To effectively enlist others, there must be a need. Secondly, to effectively enlist others, there must be a purpose. A purpose. Turn with me to Mark chapter 1 and verses 16 through 20 now. Mark chapter 1 and verses 16 through 20. And let's look at how Jesus defines purpose here. Mark chapter 1, verses 16 through 20. Now, Jesus is walking by the Sea of Galilee, verse 16. And as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. They immediately left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther from there, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were also in the boat mending their nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and went after him. So notice how Jesus defines purpose here. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. They knew what it was like to be a fisherman. They had been fishermen all their life. They knew that there was a certain technique to it, that there were some things that you had to do in order to get the fish into the boat, right? So then you could take the fish to the market so people could have some fish for dinner or whatever it is that they need. And they were practiced at that because they were fishermen. Now, Jesus uses that very effectively when he comes along and he says, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. You see, there is a greater purpose here. It wasn't just about catching fish and feeding people, although it seems like today we kind of get things backwards a little bit. Sometimes I think we think that feeding people is the most important thing in life. It's not. But nevertheless, that's a little aside there. But Jesus wanted them to understand more about their relationship with their fellow man. He wanted them to be fishers of men, to go out and to bring people in to the kingdom of God, to the kingdom of heaven. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. When we enlist others to help, they need purpose so that they have a general sense of direction, right? If people don't have a general sense of direction, they don't really know what's going on. They don't understand what the big picture is, right? Maybe you give clear instructions. Maybe you tell them, first do this, then do this, then put, you know, tab A into slot B or whatever. And they go, okay, well, all right. And they do all of this and they still don't know what's going on because they don't have a general sense of purpose. Have you ever put together one of those really cheap bookcases that you get from Walmart or somewhere else, you know, and that comes, and the book, you know, you walk into the store and the bookcase is there and it looks so nice, right? And it looks so nice. And you're just thinking, wow, I would love to have that in my house. It looks so nice. And so you say, I want one of those. And you start looking around for it and it's in a box that, you know, is about that thin. You think, well, how in the world did that thing get into this box? It's that thin. And you say, oh, well, so you put it in the cart, you take it home, and you start opening it up, right? And there's all kinds of parts and pieces. It doesn't look anything like what you saw in the store at that point. But the manufacturers have done us a tremendous favor by putting in that box a set of instructions. And what is on the very first page of the instructions? This is what it looks like. This is the end result. This is what you're building right here. That gives you purpose. Oh, okay. So if I follow these instructions, then I'm going to get this. Well, that's what I want because that's what I saw in the store. And that's what I want right here in the corner of my house. Of course, it never looks like that when you put it in the house. But nevertheless, at least that's what you're shooting for. And I know I've got stuff like that. I did some mail order stuff one time, got it in the mail, and it was all damaged and broken up, had to send all these parts back. It was a big headache. But nevertheless, still, you have a sense of purpose. And that moves you along following those clear directions. When you're doing the individual things. And we're going to talk about clear directions in just a moment. But you need a sense of purpose first. And that's what Jesus gave the apostles here. He gave them a sense of purpose. And we all have a need to have this sense of purpose. Because purpose gives our lives meaning. And we all want our lives to have meaning. And leaders need to tap into this. They need to set forth reasons for why they're doing the things they're doing. They need to put out purposes for people so that people have that big picture and they know, yes, now I know what I'm contributing to. Now I can go forward. Now I can do my little part because I know that we're building this big thing. That's good. That's what leaders do. Leaders, in order to enlist people, leaders must give a sense of purpose. Number three, in order to enlist people, leaders need to give clear directions. Turn back to Matthew chapter 10 for just a moment. Matthew chapter 10, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 15. Here's another passage in which Jesus enlists people, and he gives them very clear directions here. Let's read this together. Matthew chapter 10, verses 1 through 15. And when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of diseases. Now the name of the 12 apostles are these. First, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus, and Lebbaeus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. So those are the people Jesus is enlisting now, right? He's given them a sense of purpose. They realize there's a great need out there. And now it's time for them to go out and to preach the gospel to others. Now, he's given them power to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. Now, listen to what he says here starting in verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, do not go in the way of the Gentiles. Do not enter a city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor copper in your money belts, nor bag for your journey, nor two tunics, nor sandals, nor staffs, for a worker is worthy of his food. Now whatever city or town you enter, inquire who it is worthy, and stay there till you go out. And when you go into a household, greet it. If the household is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whoever will not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart from that house or city, shake off the dust from your feet. Assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Now, what does Jesus do here? He gives them clear directions. Look at verse 5. Don't go to the Gentiles. Okay. Don't go to the Samaritans. All right. Who do you go to? Go to the Jews. Clear directions. What are we supposed to do? Look at verse 7. As you preach, or as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So they were to preach. He gave them the words to preach. What else were they to do? Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. All of these things. He told them what kind of, how they were going to get support for themselves. He told them where to stay. He gave them clear directions. All right? And so now, he has enlisted their help, and he gives them clear directions on what to do. And that is very important. If we want to enlist others, we do need to give them clear directions, because people want to know what they're getting involved with. They want to know how they're going to be spending their time. And they want to know the resources that are going to be involved in doing these things. And that's exactly what Jesus lays out right here in Matthew 10. In verses 1 through 15. And then finally, in order to be an effective leader to enlist others, we need to give people a bright future. Leaders are futurists. They talk about the future. They think about the future. They tell others about the future. They discuss the future, how things are going to be, and how life is going to look like 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, because they have a picture of this. They have an image in their head, or at least they should, because leaders are supposed to have vision. And so, to enlist others, you need to paint a picture of a bright future. Look at what Jesus did. Just turn over a page here, Matthew chapter 10. And verses 40 through 42. Matthew chapter 10, verse 40 through 42. Now, he gave them all kinds of instructions. He gave them some warnings. He told them, you know, not to fear men, but fear God. He told them to get them, that they needed to confess Christ, that Christ was the Son of God. He told them how that there would be division because of what they... He gave them all kinds of things. But then the last thing he did here, at the end of the chapter here, as he's sending the disciples out to preach to the Jewish people, he gave them a bright future. Look what he says. Verse 40. He who receives you receives me. And he who receives me receives him who sent me. He who receives a prophet in the name of the prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he who receives a righteous man in the name of the righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly, I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. Now, that is a picture of a bright future. You mean even if I do something as small as give a cup of cold water to somebody, that that's going to make a difference? Absolutely. Now, Jesus was the best at doing this, all right? And he was a master at leading people. And so what we see here is him painting a picture of the future. There's going to be reward. And no one is going to lose their reward. Everyone's going to get something. Even the person who does that little one thing of giving somebody else a cup of cold water, even they are going to get something. Wow, that's great. That makes you think, you know, there's nothing that I can't do, right? The good leaders will do that when enlisting others. And that's what Jesus did. It is so important that leaders talk about the future because people want to know what will happen as a result of their efforts. They want to see what's going to happen in the future. And what a wonderful blessing it is to be a Christian, knowing that we are working together for a great future as well. Leadership. It's such an important topic today, and it's something that we all need to learn about and study about. And the Bible has so much to say about it if we'll just open our eyes and look and see what's going on in the Scriptures. Leaders need to enlist others to effectively carry forward the cause of Christ in the church. Now listen to what Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:2. And this sums up the whole lesson right here. He said this: "And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." He wanted Timothy to enlist others. And so we need to enlist others as well. And good leaders will do exactly that. To effectively enlist others, there must be a need. And that need needs to be clear and understandable. Number two, there needs to be purpose. We need to infuse people with purpose. Give them the big picture. Let them know what they're working on, what it's going to look like after they're done with it. Number three, they need clear directions. And then finally, they need a bright future. To paint a picture of the bright future. Let us know ultimately what everything is working toward and how great it's going to be when you pitch in and do your part. And leaders can enlist other people that way, and that's a great thing to do, okay? Now look, this isn't manipulation, okay? Now I know there may be some of you out there thinking, oh, you're teaching our people how to manipulate other people. No, that's not what I'm doing. That's not what I'm doing. This isn't manipulation, okay? Because all this is voluntary on our part. It's what we want to do, and it's under the umbrella of what Jesus has already told us to do. To go forth into all the world and teach the gospel to every creature. And so it's not about manipulating people. It's about being clear with people. It's about recognizing that people want to get involved and people want to work. It's about understanding as leaders that we can't do it by ourselves, that we need others to help. And we've got to ask. And Jesus said, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened to you." So we need to ask. And so leaders need to enlist others to effectively carry forth the cause of Christ. Jesus has given us the example. He was the greatest leader that mankind ever knew. And from looking at what he did, we can learn about leadership as well. Now Jesus wants us to do the things that he taught us to do to fulfill the great purpose of God, the eternal purpose of God, which is to bring everyone together into one body and so restore what was lost when Adam sinned. To restore man's relationship with God and to restore man's relationship with his fellow man. Now that's the great purpose we all labor under. And ultimately everything that we do goes into that purpose. And of course, Jesus painted the brightest picture. Why, who can think of a greater thought than what Jesus gave us in John chapter 14, "I go to prepare a place for you." Oh, that's such a bright future. Doesn't it make you want to get out there and work for Jesus? Doesn't it make you want to enlist other people to get involved in the work? Now, we've got some work to do. We've got a gospel meeting coming up this next week, and we can really get with it, and we can really get out there and enlist other people. We can really get out there and preach the gospel and bring them in next week so they can hear Cody speak to us about the kingdom of God. Just as Jesus said, as you go, preach, saying what? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Well, the kingdom of heaven is here. And people need to know about that kingdom. And so let's get busy this week and let's go out there and work for the Master. Is there anyone here tonight who needs the prayers of the church? Perhaps there's someone here tonight, though we haven't been talking about the plan of salvation. Maybe someone tonight needs to enlist in the body of Christ by becoming a Christian. Do what Jesus said to do. He gave clear instructions along that line. Hear His word, believe it, repent, confess, and be baptized. Now those are clear instructions. Jesus gave those instructions. And when we follow those clear directions, we can enlist. Follow Him. Be part of the body of Christ and contribute to that great purpose to have that ultimate bright future realized. Don't you want to be there with Him? I go to prepare a place for you. Don't you want to go there? Why not make the move tonight while together we stand and while we sing?